Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away when the sorrows of this life
are... Good morning. You are listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church of Herlock, Maryland. I'm Bill Windsor.
And I'm Dave Talley, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Thank you, Mr. Bill. Today's radio program will be part two of a message that we began last week entitled The Democracy of Despair. This is a sermon from the sermon series entitled Bitter Pills to Swallow. Take your Bibles and let's study together.
Let's talk about the categories of life and how there's pain around every corner. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. I'm literally trying to drown you. That's what I want to do. I want you, when this is over, to feel overwhelmed and hopeless. That's the way I want you to feel. Because in humility and sorrow and desperation, that is where hope and Christ is found. In fact, I will submit to you that nobody ever finds Christ until they reach the end of their rope. Either literally or at least in their mind, recognizing I am without hope without Him. So here we go. Y'all ready for this fun theme park ride? Pain everywhere. Physical pain. Discomfort and weakness. Through disease and injury, we all grapple with this one repeatedly and sometimes without even any hope of alleviation. Physical pain. That's it. We're done. There's no other pain beside that, according to the dictionary. I disagree. There's mental pain, too. Anguish and confusion. This is fairly deep, which means I didn't come up with it. As humans, we struggle to know what we don't know, at least those who have any sense. Struggle to discover. We look, we observe, we record, we dig. We try to learn what we don't know, because it's what we don't know that scares us. It's what's in the dark that scares us. We struggle to know what we don't know. That's anguish. Because there's so much that we don't know. And those who know the most say we know the least. Isaac Newton. But when we discover what we're trying to find out, according to Solomon, the picture only darkens. Actually, the more you know, the more this message becomes absolute reality. One great philosopher said, if we could hear all the grass growing, we would go insane. He was actually talking about how the struggle of the entire world is constant and it's everywhere. And we try to understand it, and what we do end up understanding is also painful and becomes confusing. Even getting to know God, His ways are not our ways, and the more we know, the more we end up saying, I don't know much. There are subcategories to mental pain. As I said, these overlap, but there is emotional pain. I'm just categorizing two. Grief and rage, both are painful. For reasons real or imagined, we can become so overcome by emotional distress and despair that it can literally make us sick or even kill us. There are people who die of a broken heart. They literally die from sadness. There is psychological pain, including anxiety and depression and other problems. Paralyzing fears and sadnesses brought on by either chemical imbalances or environmental imbalances can make life nearly or even altogether impossible to tolerate. Tanya and I know a lady very well, pastor's wife, wonderful lady, godly lady, spiritual lady, kind lady, every good adjective you can come up with, she had these adjectives, but she suffered from debilitating anxiety attacks. And she said when she has an anxiety attack, it feels like, she said, it feels like I'm drowning. And she has no way to predict. It just happens. All parts of the universe are cursed, including our psychological expressions. The next point, personal pain. Pain unique to you as a result of your identity and your purpose and your lack of ability to understand your purpose. Our very personality is broken and polluted to the point that our understanding of our place in life or our drive to thrive or survive becomes self-defeating, selfish ambition. There are people that you and I like, we love, we want to be close to, and in our attempt to get close to them, we literally drive them away. How strange is that? There are people who look in the mirror and they say, I don't like who I am. I don't want to be a man, I want to be a woman. I don't want to be a woman, I want to be a man. I don't want to be whatever, I want to be something else. Personal pain. Never mind whether it's right or wrong. That's a great conversation too. But they're in pain. And they're not convinced that the purpose that apparently has been handed to them is their actual purpose. And a life without purpose is absolute misery. There is relational pain, being misunderstood or abandoned. Who among us hasn't imagined that we have found a true friend and companion, only to discover that we never really knew them at all? That all was a farce and a facade, and the trust we placed in them was tragically misplaced. Spouses, friends, family members that we discovered, they are not who I thought they were. Relational pain. We are created for relationship, and yet constantly our relationships are strained and destroyed. Underneath this category is familial pain. Boy, this is a heavy one. Family dysfunction and disintegration. Errors and inadequacies abound even in the best of families. I could name you names of people. I could tell you where I met them in this place, that I spent time with them as they would come, and I would think, man, these people, now they've got it together. I mean, good looking. I mean, nice, smart, kind. I mean, they're diligent. They're faithful. They've got everything together. And then they sat in my living room and told how their life was behind closed doors. Absolute disasters. Family pain. Secrets. Family secrets. We've all got skeletons in our closets. And it's painful. We can't fix it and we can't escape from it. And it's painful. There are social pains. You want to deny this one is real? Rejection or betrayal. Please listen closely to what I'm about to read to you. While we may want to be loved or admired by all, virtually nobody is. And even those among us in the human race, those few stars who are famous and wanted by seemingly everybody, even those few among us who seem to be loved by all, endure horrible pains that come from trying to please all those millions of fans, or to retain all of those millions of people who supposedly love them, or to escape from all those people who supposedly love them. If you were truly loved by everybody in the world, it might just kill you. Not to mention the rejection and betrayal that the average person feels. There is sexual pain. You might prefer that I not talk about it or even deny that this is a real thing, but it's real whether you like it or not. Both repression and perversion brings great pain. Whether it is having to do without what is naturally desired and designed, which some people have to do without for various reasons. Or on the other hand, if it's being led down a path that is absolutely full of self-destructive behavior, led down that path by our own sensual appetites, in both cases, pain, frustration, and sadness emerge and abound. And yes, I have talked to people on both sides of this issue. And it's painful. There are people who do not want to live anymore because of sexual repression or sexual perversion. Pain. It's designed for pleasure. And yet the curse of sin has polluted it with pain. There are pains that are simply a result of financial struggle. As I mentioned earlier, poverty and oppression both are forms of financial, at least sources of financial pain. Pain that comes as a result of the use of money. The lack of accessible resources being either both unavailable or unusable, and a disproportionate amount of them being concentrated in the hands of a very few to be often hoarded, wasted, or abused, ends up causing unmeasurable suffering on our planet. You couldn't take all the money away and get rid of the pain, and you couldn't give everybody enough to get rid of the pain. There's pain that comes as a result of political power through manipulation and abuse. While all in life is not driven by power alone, as some people now claim these days, all in life is not driven by power alone, much is. And it is almost always misused for self-serving purposes and in harmful ways. We call it politics, and there's politics everywhere. There's politics even in this church. There's politics in the ladies' group. There's politics in the men's prayer breakfast. There's politics everywhere. Who has the power? And it almost always causes pain. There's devotional or religious pain. Has anybody here ever heard of the term church hurt? Anybody ever heard of that? It's very popular these days. You might not have heard the term, but I bet you've met people who have experienced it. Maybe you are one of those people. I'm just categorizing two here, persecution and legalism. As I said, devotional pain or religious pain is currently called church hurt. As we are sometimes ignored, sometimes shamed, sometimes misled, etc. See, it goes like this. A person comes to a church and says, I'm going to go find God. But more often than not, the person goes to the church and finds the devil. They go to the church and say, I will find forgiveness. I will find hope. I will find love. I will find acceptance. I will find understanding. And they don't find those things. Solomon said, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Pain everywhere. Spiritual pain. Oppression and or ignorance. The darkness that we speak of in the spiritual realm is sometimes manifested by a rather evident demonic force of depravity. We call it demon possession or demon oppression if it's a believer, because a believer cannot be possessed by a demon. But it's a real thing. But more often than not, spiritual pain comes not from oppression, but from ignorance. The darkness of deprivation. Martin Luther experienced this as a Catholic monk trying to earn his way to God. And the harder he worked, the further he felt from God. And actually, we know theologically it was true. The further he was from God. And he began to despise the Maker that he was trying to please because he was ignorant of God's grace. Maybe you don't agree with everything I've said. Maybe you do. Maybe you agree that it's actually much worse than I have described. And there's other categories that you would like to add to my list. They have to end in A-L. You know that. I read C.S. Lewis's book, The Problem of Pain. I've never done this before. I listened to it. I didn't read it. Mostly driving around the Delmarva Peninsula this week, burning up that $100 tank of gas I had in the truck. Whew, that was painful. But I listened to this book, The Problem of Pain, and I've never done this, Russ, my entire life. When I'm done with the book, I'm done with it. I may read it with others just to show them what I found, but I literally, as soon as I finished it, started it over and read the whole thing again. And I finished it and started over. Now, I ran out of time. I haven't finished it again. Now, I'm not saying that to impress you. Like I said, I didn't even read it. I just listened to it. That's the lazy man's way to read, right? I don't mind doing that. But you know why I read it twice and will probably read it again and again? Because where I started, God shouts in our pain. Cody, this is reality. As a pastor, it seems like that's all I do. I just go around and figure out who's hurting, try to say something or be something that will comfort. But pain is everywhere. And those who are not hurting now, literally, you have memories of pain. Life is full of pain. That's the truth. And it must be because of sin. Not just ending in death, but full of pain to warn us that death is coming. And that after death, there's going to be much more pain and much worse pain. Number three, truths about pain. Pain is an opportunity to learn about God, to prepare ourselves to meet Him, and to act with beneficence toward our neighbor. It's an opportunity. Pain is an opportunity. C.S. Lewis said that we want God to be a heavenly grandfather, not a heavenly father. His love for us is too scrutinizing. It's too demanding. I mean, a father who loves a son or loves a daughter doesn't just let that son or daughter just do whatever they want to do. A father or a mother who truly loves a child is very demanding of that child and will not tolerate that child wasting his or her life. They will insist, even with inflicting much pain, that this child adjust and be something different. We don't want God to be a heavenly father. We want Him to be a heavenly grandfather who looks down and says, "Oh, they're having a great time." But that's not who He is. And many of you have heard me say many times, there is nothing that God is not willing to do, nothing He's not willing to use to get your full attention and your full loyalty. And I don't mean to be mean, but this is the truth. If you don't like that, you're going to end up taking up with Him, and you're going to lose that battle. Nobody ever resists God and succeeds. Nobody. But pain is an opportunity to learn about God and to prepare ourselves to meet Him and to act with beneficence toward our neighbor. Beneficence, you don't need it if there's no pain. Finally, last truth concerning pain. Hallelujah. Pain is not a permanent problem, at least not for God's people. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle John, who was very familiar with pain, the Apostle John was boiled in oil and survived. Try that one on for size. And as an old man, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for preaching the gospel. And while he was there, God spoke to him, gave him a revelation, gave him a vision. At the end of that vision, he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, look here now, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Well, what's life going to be like then? Oh, it's all good news. He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. You can underline this line, neither will there be any more pain. Do you know why pain will no longer exist? Because danger will no longer exist. The former things will have passed away. If you're here this morning, or you're watching online, or you're watching the recording, and you hear that and you say, yeah, no thanks. I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need the church. I don't need all this crap. You help yourself. But this only applies to believers. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. That's our deal that God gives to us. You don't want to be his child? You'll suffer tortures throughout all eternity. You can despise him for that. You can say he's a bully. You can accuse him of anything you want to, but you'll still burn in hell forever. And you'll wish you listened to this crazy preacher. And you'll wish you followed the Christ who died on the cross to pay for your sin. He loves you! C.S. Lewis says, what you call defeat, I call a miracle. For to make things that are not itself, and thus to become, in a sense, capable of being resisted by its own handiwork, is the most astonishing and unimaginable of all the feats that we attribute to deity. In other words, the fact that God can make us truly able to make up our own mind is absolutely amazing. It's the most amazing thing about who God is. He says, I willingly believe that the damned are in one sense successful rebels to the end, that the doors of hell are locked on the inside. I do not mean that the ghosts or spirits may not wish to come out of hell in the vague fashion wherein an envious man wishes to be happy, but they certainly do not will even the first preliminary stages of that self-abandonment through which alone the soul can reach any good. We call that repentance. They enjoy forever, the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved. In the long run, the answer to all those who object to the doctrine of hell is itself a question. What are you asking God to do? If you don't want there to be a hell, what are you asking God to do? To wipe out their past sins and at all costs to give them a fresh start? Smoothing every difficulty and offering every miraculous help? But he has done so on Calvary. To forgive them? As they are, they will not be forgiven. They don't want to be forgiven. They don't even believe they're wrong. To leave them alone? Is that what you want him to do? Alas, I'm afraid that is what he has done. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 5, we have Isaiah the prophet looking forward in time and looking at the cross of Calvary and seeing his Jewish Messiah. And he writes what he sees. And he says, he's despised. He's rejected. Everybody hates him. And they're rejecting him. The Messiah, the Savior, the answer, the anointed one. He's a man of sorrows. He's familiar with grief. How do people respond to this scene? Isaiah said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. In other words, we refuse to even look at his pain. It's like driving by and seeing Wayne and Tracy there in the yard and looking away and speeding on past. That's how humanity treats Jesus. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's old English for we didn't care. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, as people saw him hanging on the cross, they say, well, he must have done something horrible. Sure, he deserved that. Sure, he had it coming. But he didn't. He was wounded for our transgressions. All the times that you and I have crossed over that line, God said, don't do that. We said, it'd be all right. His pain paid for that transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Every time we said, I can't hit the target. I'm not even going to try. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The whip of the Father's wrath was brought down upon the back of Jesus' body so that you could have peace with God. By his stripes, because of his pain, you and I are healed. I can't give you the exact quote, but C.S. Lewis said, if there is pain in heaven, I embrace it. You know what he had realized? He was an atheist, by the way. God redeemed him and turned him into a great apologist for the gospel. But you know what he realized? We have one purpose. Every one of us. That's to know God and to be known by him. There's nothing that compares. And if you're on the outside looking in, I beg you, don't defy the pain. Embrace it. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am not afraid to die. I'm already dead. I am risen with him. You say, that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. You're going to discover differently when you take your last breath. It's the most true of all truths. Christ is all. Action step for today. Since pain is an inevitable and even essential part of the human experience, essential. By God's grace, I will be grateful in my pain and will strive to alleviate it as much as is possible in the lives of others. That's not just humanitarianism. That's not just the Red Cross or going out and giving to somebody who's poor. The best thing you can possibly do to alleviate pain in the lives of others is to tell them about Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. I trust that you received a blessing from God's Word. I hope you will listen again next week as we look at the Scriptures once again. Until then, I'm Bill Windsor speaking for Pastor Talley and all of us here at Grace Baptist Church. May God richly bless you and have a great week.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
This month, we're hosting a two-week-long vacation Bible school program this summer beginning June 20th. Our theme this year is Monumental, Celebrating God's Greatness. We're offering classes for all ages, from the age of 3, if potty trained, all the way up through teenagers and to adults. We plan to meet in the evenings from 6 to 8:30 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, from June 20th all the way to July 1st. To pre-register, go to our website, gracebaptistofherlock.org, and look for the tab labeled Children's Ministry and follow the link. Monumental VBS, coming later this month.